Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've got a really interesting stack of documents to work through today.
We really do.
You know, I was looking at my phone this morning, this sleek, perfect little glass rectangle, and I had this thought. It feels like we've been staring at the exact same thing for, what, a decade now. You get a new phone, it's a bit faster, the camera bump is, a millimeter thicker, but
The
fundamentally,
experience is stagnant. It's
exactly.
the classic stagnation of a mature market. We've hit the law of diminishing returns hard. Smartphone design has been plateauing since the early 2020s.
Right.
Manufacturers are just fighting over these tiny marginal gains, a slightly brighter screen, a slightly faster app load time. It's all refinement. It's not revolution.
But the sources we're unpacking today, they suggest that 2026 might be the year that all that stagnation actually breaks.
It seems like it.
We are looking at a massive leak about the Motorola Razr 2026 series. And I want to be specific about the date here. We're discussing intel from February 5, 2026. This is fresh. And it paints a picture of a company that is just done with refinement.
It really does. And you have to consider the source. This is primarily coming from Evan Blass.
The gold standard.
He's basically the gold standard for leaks in the tech world. So when you combine his track record with this grade A plus plus mega review editorial we have in the sec, this isn't just speculation.
Right.
This looks like a finalized strategic roadmap for the next 6 months.
And the narrative in these documents is fascinating. It paints this picture of Samsung just kind of sitting comfortably on the foldable throne. They've owned this space, but almost by default.
Complacent is the word the editorial uses, and honestly, it fits. Samsung has dominated just because they had the volume, they had the supply chain, they've been iterating, refining the hinge, tweaking the processor, but they haven't had a gun to their head.
There was no real threat.
Exactly. No one was forcing them to innovate on price or on some radical new design.
Well, looking at this roadmap, I think the threat has arrived. The whole mission for this deep dive is to understand how Motorola plans to stop being, the quirky alternative.
And become the mainstream standard.
Yes. And the headline isn't just about one shiny new phone, it's what the leak is calling the Three Musketeers strategy.
And that is the critical shift. That's the strategy. Usually, a company launches one foldable, maybe two, a book style and a flip style.
Right.
But here, Motorola is just flooding the zone. Three distinct flip models. They're trying to segment the market in a way nobody has done with this form factor before. They aren't just selling a phone.
They're selling a lineup.
A whole lineup.
Okay, let's start with the one that jumped out at me immediately. The editorial calls this a direct assault on Samsung, but the weapon isn't specs, it's economics.
Oh, yeah.
We have to talk about the Razr 2026 Lite.
This is the disruptor. This is the device that just changes the whole conversation.
I looked at the price target in the notes and I honestly thought it was a typo. Under $600.
It's not a typo. $599 seems to be the target.
That is just wild. We're used to foldables being what, $1,000?
1,000, maybe 900 if you get a good sale.
At $600, you aren't competing with other foldables. You're picking a fight with the standard mid-range slab phones. You're going up against the Galaxy A series, the Pixel A series.
Precisely. And that changes the psychology of the buyer completely.
How so?
Well, think about it. You're standing in a carrier store. You see a boring glass slab for, say, $550, or a futuristic folding Razr for
The
$599.
cool factor suddenly becomes affordable.
It's affordable. It removes that early adopter tax that has scared so many people away for
But
years.
usually when the price drops that much, the quality just falls off a cliff. You worry about the hinge feeling, crunchy or the screen looking
No.
bad.
Right.
What are we sacrificing here? Is this going to feel like a toy?
The report suggests otherwise. They're cutting costs, yes, but they're cutting smart costs. So the external display is smaller. It's a bit of a nod to those first-gen smart razors.
More of a notification window.
Exactly, a smaller window, not a full second phone. But the panel itself is still a high-quality OLED, so you're not losing visual fidelity, you're just getting less real estate.
Which, for a lot of people, is probably fine. If you just want to check the time or see who texted, you don't need a cinema screen on the front.
Right. And the source explicitly mentions that for markets like the UK and Canada, this could be the biggest disruption in years. It brings that foldable aesthetic to the mass market
It stops being a status symbol.
and starts being a cool gadget for everyone.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the how, though. How do you slash the price of the most complex mechanism, the hinge, by that much? That's always been the expensive part.
This is where we get into the business philosophy. See, Samsung plays the margin game.
High profit per unit.
Right. Motorola is switching to the market share game. They just want ubiquity. They want to be in every pocket.
So they're willing to make less money on each phone just to get the phone in your hand.
Correct. And on the technical side, the leak details a 20% reduction in production costs for the hinge mechanism itself.
Wow.
They've done it through modular design and by diversifying their supply chain across Asia. Instead of relying on a single expensive manufacturer, they've spread the load.
So they've industrialized it. They aren't treating it like some bespoke luxury watch mechanism anymore.
You're treating it like a car part. That's a great analogy.
They figured out mass production.
And once you solve that manufacturing bottleneck, the whole price floor just drops out.
Okay, so that's the light model. That gets people in the door. But I know our listeners, they want to know about the high performance gear. What happens when you take the brakes off?
Right.
Let's move up the ladder to the other two musketeers, the Standard and the Pro.
So the Razr 2026 Standard is the direct successor to what we have now. The headline improvement here is what they're calling a gapeless design.
New materials.
Yeah, new composite materials. It's lighter, but the durability metrics are apparently significantly higher.
And battery life. That's the eternal struggle with flip phones.
Hmm?
You cut the phone in half, you have less room for a battery. It's just geometry.
It is. It's physics, and you can't cheat geometry.
Right.
But Motorola is trying to cheat efficiency. They're using a customized Snapdragon 8 series chipset.
Okay.
And the leak emphasizes this chip isn't just about raw speed. It's tuned specifically for power efficiency to try and mitigate that smaller battery size.
So they're optimizing the engine so the gas tank lasts longer.
Precisely.
And the screen refresh rate caught my eye. 165 hertz.
165 hertz on the internal display, yeah.
For context, most good phones are 120 hertz.
Mm.
Most laptops are 60. 165 hertz is.
Right.
That's competitive gaming monitor territory.
It is. It means the scrolling, the animations, everything is going to feel incredibly fluid. It sets a benchmark that even the ultra premium Samsung devices haven't hit yet.
So it's a signal.
It's a signal that they aren't compromising on performance just because the phone folds.
But if we really want to talk about flexing engineering muscle, we have to talk about the third model. The Apex Predator.
The Razr 2026 Pro. Or Ultra, depending on the market.
This thing sounds like a beast.
It really does. The visual differentiator is the external display. It's not just a square on the front. It actually wraps around the camera modules. It covers almost the entire rear panel when it's closed.
So the phone effectively is a screen.
When it's closed, pretty much. But for me, the real story isn't the screen size, it's the materials. The hinge on the Pro model is made from aerospace-grade titanium.
We hear aerospace grade a lot in marketing. What does that actually mean for a user? Is it just a buzzword?
In this case, it really matters. Titanium has an incredible strength-to-weight ratio, so it lets them make the hinge mechanism thinner and lighter, but without sacrificing any structural integrity.
And the leak rates this hinge for, what was it? 400,000 folds. 400,000. Let's do the math on that. If I open my phone, what, maybe 100 times a day? And that's a lot.
That's heavy usage. Even at 100 times a day, 400,000 folds is, it's roughly 10 years.
I don't think I've ever owned a single piece of electronics for 10 years, let alone a phone.
Exactly. It effectively solves the mechanical anxiety. The fear that the phone will just snap in half one day is, well, it's mathematically removed from the equation.
Right.
You'll replace the battery or the screen long before that hinge fails.
What about the cameras? Because historically, if you bought a flip phone, you just sort of accepted that your photos would be meh.
They'd be okay.
Yeah, there's just no depth for a giant sensor like on the back of a regular flagship.
The Pro is trying to fix that. Motorola has partnered with Sony for next-gen sensors.
Ah.
Sony's newer stacked sensor tech allows for much better light intake in thinner modules. So the goal is to turn photography from a weakness into a core strength.
To eliminate the compromise.
Exactly.
There was one more feature on the Pro that I think is going to be polarizing, but I kind of love it. The stylus support.
This is huge for productivity.
Yeah.
The leak says it supports an active stylus on both the internal and the external displays.
That's the key. Writing on the cover screen without opening the phone.
Yeah.
It sounds like a small thing, but for jotting down a grocery list or a quick note.
It feels like a legitimate productivity hack. It changes the device from just a consumption tool. You know, scrolling feeds into a creation tool. It brings back that old notepad utility.
I want to pause on the cool factor for a minute and get nerdy. We have to talk about the crease.
Of course.
It's the first thing anyone asks when they see a foldable. Is there a ditch in the middle of the screen?
And this is where the fifth generation teardrop hinge comes in.
Okay, explain the teardrop concept for those of us who aren't engineers.
So imagine folding a piece of paper. If you fold it flat and press down hard, you get a sharp crease. You're breaking the fibers.
Right.
But if you loop the paper so it looks like a teardrop from the side, leaving a little space at the fold, you never actually crease it.
So the screen kind of rolls inside the hinge instead of folding flat against itself.
Correct. And the leak says this new generation has optimized the bending radius so much that the crease is imperceptible to the touch and nearly invisible, even under direct lighting.
Which is a big claim.
It is. It contrasts this with the older U-type hinges some competitors use. It really seems like Motorola has pulled ahead in the actual physics of folding OLEDs.
There's another engineering nightmare with foldables, and that's heat. I remember playing a game on an older one, and the top half where the processor was got scorching hot.
While the bottom half was cold.
Yes. It felt so weird, like holding a hot coal.
Heat is the Achilles heel of this form factor. You've got less surface area to dissipate it, and the halves are separated.
Right.
Well, the Pro model has this really novel solution, a flexible vapor chamber.
A flexible vapor chamber. Usually, those copper cooling pipes are rigid.
This system actually spans both halves of the device and goes through the hinge structure.
That's incredible.
It is. It lets the heat travel from the processor in the top half through the hinge and dissipate out the bottom half. You're using the entire phone to cool itself down.
So you get sustained performance. The phone won't throttle its speed after 10 minutes of gaming.
Exactly. It keeps the engine cool. And while we're on durability, the leak also mentions an IP68 rating for the entire lineup.
So that means submersion.
Yep. Prolonged immersion in water. You can drop it in the sink or, you know, the toilet accidents happen and it should be fine.
Good to know. Let's shift to software. Because you can have the best titanium hinge and the coolest vapor chamber, but if the software is clunky, the experience is dead. We're looking at Android 16.
Android 16, yeah, but heavily optimized for the form factor. The big news is the external OS. On the standard and pro models, they're allowing full, unrestricted app execution on that external screen.
So no weird whitelist where I can only use three apps. I can run Maps, Spotify, email.
Anything. If it runs on Android, it runs on the cover screen. And this leads to a concept the leak calls the 70% rule.
I flagged that in the notes. Break that down for us.
The theory is that with properly designed widgets, you know, for smart home, music, weather, messaging a user shouldn't need to unfold the phone for 70% of their daily interactions.
That completely changes the relationship you have with the device. You're effectively using a pager-sized supercomputer for most of the day.
It's surprisingly healthier. You're less likely to get sucked into a 20-minute doom scroll on TikTok if you're just checking a text on a 4-inch screen.
You get in, you get out.
It adds a layer of friction to the addictive stuff, but removes friction for the utility stuff.
Unless you want a doom scroll, in which case you open it up and have that 165Hz massive display.
Best of both worlds.
We can't talk about tech in 2026 without talking about AI. Is this just marketing fluff, or is there real utility here?
It looks like they're collaborating with Google on this.
Right.
Moto AI seems to be focusing on context-aware features.
Okay, give me a concrete example.
The camera UI is the best one. If you bend the phone into flex mode, say you sit it on a table at 90 degrees like a little laptop, the AI automatically detects the physical shape. It shifts the preview window to the top half and all the controls to the bottom half. It turns the phone into its own tripod and editing suite instantly.
That's smart. It's adapting the software to the hardware's state. What about support? If I buy that Titanium Pro model, am I going to be stuck on old Android in 2 years?
They're stepping up there, too. The commitment is 4 major Android updates and 5 years of security patches.
That matches the industry leaders. That's crucial if they want to steal Samsung users who are used to long support cycles.
It removes that obsolescence fear. You know the phone is an investment.
Okay, let's make this practical. We've covered the specs and the strategy. But I want to visualize actually using this thing. The source had some great real-world scenarios.
Right. Picture the commuter scenario. You're on the tube, the subway. It's rush hour. You're squished between two people.
Elbows everywhere. The last thing you want is to pull out a giant flab phone and try to type on it.
Exactly. With the Razr, you pull out this compact little square. You use the 4-inch external display to triage emails or reply to texts with a full keyboard, all without ever opening the device.
It's discreet. It fits in the space you have.
I also like the photographer scenario, using the phone as its own stand.
Right.
You prop it at 90 degrees on a ledge or a table. You use the main 50 MP sensor, the good camera, not the crummy selfie camera inside, and you use the external screen as your viewfinder.
So you get studio quality self-portraits without needing a tripod or asking a stranger to hold your phone.
Exactly.
Now, our listeners love a good life hack. The Source had a section called News You Can Use. What should potential buyers look out for?
There's a fascinating battery hack. Because that internal screen is so big and runs at that high refresh rate, it's a power consumer.
Sure.
But if you lean into that 70% rule we talked about, using the cover screen for your basics, you can boost your battery life by up to 30%.
That's significant, just by keeping it closed.
It's efficient, but there is a warning, a maintenance kryptonite.
Let me guess. Sand.
Sand.
Yeah.
Dust.
Yeah.
Debris. Even with the IP rating, a single grain of hard sand trapped in that gapeless hinge when you snap it shut, it can be a screen killer.
Ouch.
It punctures the OLED, so maybe don't take the $600 folding phone to the beach.
I'll just be very careful.
The Source also suggests looking for active cases. Motorola is expected to launch cases that have a sliding mechanism to cover the hinge when it's closed, specifically to fight this debris issue.
Smart. Now, if there's a Samsung user listening right now thinking, you know what, this all sounds pretty good, Motorola is apparently coming for them.
Aggressively. The report details guaranteed trade-in programs. They're likely going to offer inflated trade-in values specifically for Galaxy Z Flip devices.
They want to buy your loyalty.
They want to get the Samsung device out of your hand and a Razr into it. It's a classic challenger brand move.
They're trying to start a war.
It's a price war and a feature war.
Yeah.
And honestly, the consumer wins either way. Competition breeds innovation.
Sure.
So let's bring it all home. We started by saying 2026 feels like a tectonic shift. After going through this roadmap, do you stand by that?
I do. If we look at the big picture, Motorola has cracked the code on cost efficiency. They've matured the technology economically and technically.
Yeah.
They are effectively telling the market that a foldable phone isn't a fragile toy for rich tech enthusiasts anymore. It's a standard tool for everyone.
And the timeline. When do we get to see if these leaks hold up?
The schedule points to a global reveal in June 2026 with availability in August.
So just a few months away.
Pushed around the corner.
Here's the thought I want to leave you with today. We've all been carrying these glass slabs for so long, we've forgotten there's another way. If that light model succeeds, if you can buy a folding phone for the same price as a regular one, are we witnessing the end of the slab era?
It's a valid question. Once that price barrier is gone, the static rectangle starts to look very old-fashioned, very rigid.
Are you ready for a world where not having a folding phone feels like carrying a rotary phone? It might be time to flip into the future. Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive.
We'll catch you on the next one.